So we open our service with prayer and the receiving of God's blessing. Let us stand together. Our help, Lord God, is in thy name. In thee who has made heaven and earth. In thee who keepeth truth and faithfulness forever, never forsaking the works of thy almighty hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. So our opening psalter, let us take 391 this evening, verses 1 through 4, when morning lights the eastern sky. O Lord, thy mercy show, on thee alone my hope relies, let me thy kindness know. So 391, 1 through 4. Let us now together read from the Holy Scriptures from Mark chapter 16. And we'll read all of this chapter, again the gospel of Jesus' resurrection now according to Mark. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away Roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared to another form, in another form, unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went, and they told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So far the reading of Mark. Let us also together make confession this evening with the words of the Nicene Creed. And then we'll turn also to the confession of faith. And tonight's turn is the Article 14. So then tonight, the Nicene Creed first, and may we say so in our hearts. By faith I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Article 14 tonight deals with the creation and the fall of man and the incapacity to perform what is truly good. We believe that God created man out of the dust of the earth and made and formed him after his own image and likeness, good, righteous, and holy, capable in all things to will agreeably to the will of God. But being in honor, he understood it not, neither knew his excellency, but willfully subjected himself to sin and consequently to death and the curse, giving ear to the words of the devil. For the commandment of life which he had received, he transgressed, and by sin separated himself from God, who was his true life, having corrupted his whole nature, whereby he made himself liable to the corporal or physical and spiritual death. Being thus become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all his ways, he has lost all his excellent gifts, which he had received from God, and only retained a few remains thereof, which, however, are sufficient to leave man without excuse. For all the light which is in us is changed into darkness, as the Scripture teaches us, saying, "This light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not," where St. John calls men darkness. Therefore we reject all that is taught repugnant to this concerning the free will of man. Since man is but a slave to sin, and has nothing of himself unless it is given him from heaven. For who may presume to boast that he of himself can do any good, since Christ saith, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him"? Who will glory in his own will? Who understands that to be carnally minded is enmity against God? Who can speak of his knowledge, since the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? In short, who dares suggest any thought, since he knows that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is of God? And therefore what the apostle saith ought justly to be held sure and firm, that God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For there is no will nor understanding conformable to the divine will and understanding, but that what Christ has wrought in man, which he teaches us when he saith, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Well, let that teaching also turn us to God for the help we need to pray, to hear, and to live. Let us seek together the Lord in prayer. Most holy and sacred Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O wilt thou enable us this evening, out of thy treasury supplied, to come before thee, Lord, as a congregation in prayer of worship, in prayer of supplication, and of confession. All the glory is to Thee, as all Thy works are great and Thy thoughts are deep, deeper than we can ever grasp. But in the contrast, Lord, of what we have just heard about ourselves, how unable we have made ourselves, spoiled ourselves from all those treasures of the righteousness, the knowledge, and the holiness that we once were adorned with. And now so different, Lord, we all know what a cage of unclean thoughts, pride, dwells within us. And oh, we may deny it and we may ignore it and we may try to patch it up, as Thou knowest. Lord, and we pray therefore, may we learn to see it also more and more, that we may take our refuge solely to Thee, the living and the risen Savior. And Lord, again, Thou brings us here together tonight. And we have every reason to join David's question, what art Thou mindful? So mindful that Thou stooped so low in giving Thy Son, Thy only Son, in such a death as we have heard lately, and to work out such salvation that will indeed restore, Lord, an innumerable multitude of Thy creatures made in Thy image, again to be in Thy image. But what a price, what an incredible price, that Thou didst not spare Thy own Son. Lord, it is that theme that has been occupying our attention in these so late weeks that we have gone through the journey coming toward this Easter day. For scarcely for a righteous man will any person ever die. But Thou hast commended Thy love towards Thy people, that while they were yet sinners, enemies, without any strength or beauty, Christ died for them. And O God of heaven, Thou knowest that none have a harder time to believe that than those among us who are convicted of their sinnership, who see the breach, who see the heavenly height of the guilt, who see, Lord, what Peter felt and saw, sinned against light and against love, and maybe even against promises made to Thee. And Father of all mercy, and Savior of sinners, bless Thou therefore that testimony that has been preached all around the world again today. Go tell My disciples and Peter. And that message, Lord, as it will go out again also here tonight, will Thou not allow Satan and unbelief to squash it, to silence it, to assault it? And may we not be among these disciples of whom we read that every time another testimony came to their ears, they believed it not. Now, Lord, and we also need to be upbraided. We need to be even upbraided more than those disciples, as we have heard this story so often already. And for them, it was so unbelievable, humanly speaking. No, O God, we cannot ever, ever hide behind our unbelief. Let it also tonight for all of us be the great reason to humble ourselves before Thee. Before Thee, who art also the author and the finisher of faith. Bind Satan's influences, O God, and cast down every strategy or attempt by which he seeks to undo this amazing two-letter summary or two-word summary of the gospel. So as we gather once again in this evening hour, may our souls be as John's was on the Lord's Day, in the Spirit. Remove what hinders us, Lord, from being filled with Thy Holy Spirit, to be strengthened in the inner man, to be quickened to run the race, though it may be a race through difficulties and obstacles. May we do so with strength. May we do so, O God, without all what hinders us, and mainly, again, that unbelief, that sin which so often besets Thy people. Lord, we pray, therefore, that Thou wilt graciously fill us with Thy Spirit and dry up any sores of false comfort now that will fail us when we meet in the end of our journey and will stand before Thee in judgment. May us see, Lord, may make us see what false comforts we may be embracing to somehow soothe our conscience or make our life feel better. But lead us from that brokenness to the fullness of that fountain that is opened, and it is truly a fountain of all comfort in life and in death. By Thy irresistible grace, O God, lead us in the path of all Thy saints, where Christ will become all increase. Now we see our death in ourselves and our fallenness, and so we decrease. So gracious Lord, Thou knowest, as we are sitting here, be young or old, wherever we are in our spiritual condition and journey, lead us, we pray. And as we come before Thee tonight, we bring before Thee also the needs and the needs of those about us, our own needs, and those of the ones that are dear to us, as we already did this morning, Lord, but we may again lift up to Thee the plea that Thy will be done also in the life of our church family, that Thy grace may be found sufficient also for Ben and Elaine in their so difficult circumstances. And that they may experience, Lord, that Thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And that they may experience that exactly in the deepest valleys, that Thou art pleased to lead through, we find the most exquisite flowers in Thy truths and comfortable promises given in the Scripture. And Lord, may that also be their experience as they are heavy laden with the burden of their child. Keep them in the faith that they are all in Thy hand as the wise and almighty Father who does according to Thy divine will in heaven and on earth. Thou knowest, Lord, we wish Isaac to live, that we may wish more that Thy glory be seen and recognized in every aspect of his life or even his death. Thou art the sovereign one. And Lord, we pray therefore for grace from moment to moment, day by day, Bless the means that are still used also for this young lad. And in the same way, Lord, we thank Thee for so far helping Sheila and Caleb, and may it please Thee to continue to bless this intervention and guide this couple also in the expectancy of this twin. Lord, we lift up also Ben and Cherith, our son and daughter of Dave and Gail, as they hope to be united in marriage this week. May that also be a special time for them and for us as family. Pray for all our fathers and mothers in our midst, also those that are expectant fathers and mothers. Lord, wilt thou give us grace and strength that we may lead our children and our families in godliness and in truthfulness. And Lord, and thou knows that we cannot convert our children's hearts. We have brought them into this world with the image of ourselves. And that can be painful and difficult when we see their hearts' choices. And Lord, we pray that as we shepherd their hearts and confront them with the sins, and may point them to the Savior, that Thou would bless those ways to also bring our children at the foot of the cross. For ultimately, that is what all parenting is, that we may lead our children to Christ through those journeys in childhood already. And help us, Lord, in that way, as fathers and mothers. Be also with those that would like to be a father, or love to be a father or a mother, and those who are struggling with that emptiness of their marriage life. Lord, we pray for the blessing on all evangelism work of the Bible studies with the prisoners, mission labors among the Jews and the Gentiles. We pray that Thou would bless Martin Decker in his work in Nazareth among the Jews and others, Lord, who are seeking to also set before Thy covenant people of old that gospel of the resurrected Savior. Lord, will Thou bless it to them. Bless all the work that is done in Thy name in the translation work of the Bible in new languages, and the distribution of it, and the smuggling of Bibles into the countries where it is a forbidden book. Lord, protect also those involved in any of such labors. We plead for our President Trump, Vice President Pence, all his cabinet and advisors, Lord, in all the decisions that need to be made in our guide Thou them, that they may indeed reflect in all their labors and governing a humble and dependent attitude and obedience above all to Thy revealed will. That this nation, Lord, may be governed according to the Scriptures, values and morals. We pray for our legislative branches and executive branches, for the military leaders also, Lord, and all their decisions, for our armed forces. We pray for the family of all those soldiers who are lost their lives, and all those who've come back from battlefields, Lord, not only with physical wounds, but many with post-traumatic stress disorders and all kinds of other psychological scarring and wounds. We just pray that Thou indeed would give us much more prayer, that Thou would cause all wars to cease and break asunder every chariot, and O God, that only will take place not through politics, not through military force, but through that simple but powerful preaching of the gospel of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, send forth a multitude of disciples into this world to proclaim, to share, to witness of that only hope in this so dark and dismal day we live. And that is a true hope, Lord, that Thou art alive forevermore. So hear our poor petitions tonight. Bless those who are listening at home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now 378. And thereof 1, 2, and 3, all three verses. Give thanks for God, for good is He, His grace abideth ever. And what follows in 1, 2, 3 of 378. None of the people that were the Lord's disciples felt on the opening day of Easter greatly delighted. It all began for them as a dark and a dismal day. But none of them felt as worse as Peter did. Not only had his master died, Peter had lost his master through denial. And then death. And he had no more hope that he could ever make that right. It's one thing, friends, to live with unresolved sin. Peter did for a little while. An unresolved sin. It consumed every ounce of joy of the day with which he lived that. But there's one thing worse than to live with unresolved sin. That's to die with it. To meet your Maker with unresolved sin. Keep that in mind. But what is now needed in such a moment of utter failure like Peter, or an utter misery and conviction as you may struggle with? You need hope, don't you? Hope. That's a biblical word of tremendous weight. The biblical hope is the gift of the Spirit, and it enables us to go on when all seems so hopeless. And really, it is hard for you and me to have an appreciation of how hard it was for these disciples to see their master dead and buried. And therefore, I have not a stone to throw at any of those disciples in this chapter that we read, that every time again they didn't believe him. They didn't believe the people that came to tell them. So it's not right. We know it wasn't right, because Jesus doesn't give them anything but a very strong rebuke as he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not in him. But what was right for Jesus to do is not right for us to cast a stone on. And so maybe tonight also, we need hope. Saw a painting once of a burned out house. The only thing that was standing of the house was a chimney. And before that painting, there stood an old father with his tattered underclothes and a child with hardly any clothes in his arms. And the child was crying. House burned out. Crying. And then it said underneath that painting, "Hush, child, for God isn't dead." That's hope. God isn't dead. That's Easter. That spells the hope. Even as we may face the most difficult, dismal situation. I want to ask your attention tonight for verse 7 of Mark 16. And there the angel, after having given the initial announcement of Jesus' resurrection, in which he really points out to them even the place where he laid, and then he said in verse 7, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." Let's together gather our thoughts here around this charge that the angels give to the women. They are to speak to the other disciples about the glad tidings. And in that, not only these women receive this charge. This is as valid today to all those who have heard about the resurrection. And secondly, they are to speak especially to Peter. And we'll gather our thoughts around that so wonderful little addition and Peter. Now again, children, we see angels here, as we've seen them a couple of times in the last couple of months. The angels have been involved at every important step of Jesus coming to the world. I know if you recall in the Advent season, way back in December, when we started to think about Jesus coming in the flesh, that I took your thoughts to 1 Peter 2. About that little phrase that Peter writes, "and the angels desire to look into." These things that were recorded by the prophets. Remember, the angels were very, I will say, plain curious to understand what Isaiah and Amos and Hosea and all the other prophets were writing about. They were curious because they're also very interested in the work that God was doing in the world that He made. And so the angels were everywhere involved, the birth of Jesus, the announcement of His birth, and the angels' choir. As Jesus suffered in the wilderness after these 40 days, the angels come to feed the captain of salvation. After He struggled in Gethsemane, for a few moments before He goes out the garden, and the angels came to minister to Him. You don't know what they did there, but we assume they spoke to Him the promises of God to encourage the Lord Jesus in that last part of that journey. But it's also possible that the angels were confused, as the disciples were. When they saw the Master suffering, but then also dying on the cross. For that work of redemption, friends, was also to their interest. As they had seen the work of God so utterly destroyed by even one of us, our only leader, Satan, taken along in a deep rebellion and having taken the world into a deep rebellion. The angels may also therefore have been much confused. But that all disappeared. Easter morning, they are the first one to see the resurrected Savior. Sent by God, as we heard this morning, to roll away the stone, is one angel at least. And we know from the other Gospels that there was more than one. They now have been the first ones involved on Easter morning. And after they have rolled away the stone and waited for the women to come, they do their next task on this Easter day. They're the first preachers of the Easter Gospel. Message of these angels would have rejoiced the angels also. I was reflecting on it this morning. There's no more lovely task than to be an angel to bring a message of joy. That was my task yesterday, this morning. And that was these angels' task in this dismal circle of these disciples of Jesus, like Mary and Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and then the disciples and Peter. They are allowed to bring the glad tidings. To who? Well, we saw that this morning. I'll just refresh your mind. In verse 6, He speaks to the women, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." That message, congregation, they may send to the heirs of salvation. Who are they? And how do you know you are one of those? Well, they know that, don't they? These angels know who they are. And that's not because they had a peek in the secret book. That's not how you know. That book God does not open for us. That is His secret will. They had no insider knowledge. In the book of life. But they did have a knowledge. What they saw in people. We know the angels rejoice together in heaven over one sinner that repents. They're not even rejoicing about big numbers, you notice that. They rejoice over one. For one sinner
is worth more than the whole world. One sinner. Will you please remember that for a moment? And I should remember that. One sinner saved in this place, here or outside, is worth more than the whole world. We spend a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of attention on a world that's going to perish. But sinners never perish. Souls never end. More valuable than the whole earth together. And these angels, they have observed with a spiritual joy and with a holy pleasure the fruits of election. And that's by how you can know if you are in that book too. So simple. How do I know I am in that book of life? Well, friends, it is not because you get an inside look in the book. But you will begin to see in yourselves, and hopefully you can observe it, as our canons say, with a spiritual joy and a holy pleasure, the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Scripture. By the tree you shall know, by the fruit you shall know the tree. Now, how do I know that these disciples are elect? They are seekers of Jesus. Hungry. We saw that this morning. I'll be brief on it again. Hungry to know Him. Needy for His ministry. They esteemed the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it now in your life? Is that your spiritual portrait? Seekers of Jesus. See, then that Easter gospel, as He said to them, "Do not be afraid, you that seek Jesus, for I have good tidings for you. He is risen. He is not here. And look, behold the place where He lay." And so that's the first charge the angels are to bring. Glad tidings to the depressed and the fearful women. They're very affrighted. If you look at the word affrighted in the Greek, they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified. By what they see, the stone is rolled away. That's what unexpected. And then these angels are sitting there and speaking to them. And these poor women, they just are so terrified. And here, don't be terrified. And how incredibly sweet is the message that the angel may bring to them. Your Master is alive. You thought it was all over, but that's not true. He is risen as He said to you. He said to you it over and over. Now, friends, that is an incredible message. And these women, as we read here too, are leaving with great fear and great joy. It says in verse 8, they went out quickly, they fled, they trembled, and they were amazed. Now, that mixture of emotion will be recognized in each sinner who is in Christ's hand. When you're in Christ's hand, when He takes you in His hand and begins to teach you as the prophet and as the priest and as the king, and you come under those sweet influences of Christ the Lord, you will recognize the journey these women took. You will have anxious fears. Cannot be different. God points those fingers, His fingers, at those sins in your life. When you begin to sense the holiness of God, you will have anxious fears. You will struggle with fear. You will also struggle to believe. In the midst of that awareness of yourself, even as the gospel hope is set before you, that He is a friend of sinners, that He is came to seek the sinners and to receive them, you struggle to believe, just as they struggle to believe too. You may have convictions and disquietness of heart because the sins testify you. But then as that hope dawns in your heart, and the Holy Spirit opens up these scriptures and make you see that there is one given under heaven whereby you can be saved. You understand the mixture of emotions, of this amazement and this fear. Want to believe, don't dare to believe. Or I want to rejoice, I don't dare to rejoice. Can you understand? The matter is so great. The matter that He is risen. And the matter for your soul that He would be willing to pardon your sin. That He would be willing to take all yours and make it His and to make all His yours. You say, I just cannot believe that. Now that is the struggle that no doubt these women experienced. But it didn't stay that way. They became firm believers. Now, tonight our text is verse 7. The second charge of the angels is, go your way. They become the first preachers. Human preachers. They become the apostles of the apostles. Now, women are used greatly by God. Not in the official offices. They are not given by God's discretion and wisdom to women. But don't forget, some of the best witnesses in the Bible have come from female mouths. God uses them richly. Here on Easter morning, the women have passed the apostles in their love and devotion, in their fearlessness for the persecutors as they have come out to the grave early in the day already. And they get an instruction this morning. Go your way. Tell His disciples. They are to be the carriers of the glad tidings. Now, children of God in our midst, do you realize you are also under that same charge? It is not just a preacher's task on the pulpit to preach the great tidings. You can compare the preacher on the pulpit tonight to the angel at the graveside. He gives a task. And of course, He's also under the same task, as I have the same task as you do, and wherever I am. But children of God, when is the last time that you gave a witness about the hope that is in you to someone not inside the church? You may start there. Our children need to hear that. Our young people need to hear that. They need to hear how good it is to serve the Lord. They need to hear that it is a pleasure. The pleasures of true religion. They need to hear that. They need to see that. They do not need to see that Christianity is some gloom and doom thing. But that's not what it is it? There is sin, yes. There is damnation, yes. There is condemnation, but that's not the whole story. There is a joy in the message of the gospel that needs to come out. Go your way. Tell His disciples. Begin then, like Anna, to speak to those who are waiting and looking for redemption. That would now be the real Christian gossip. Let me use that word for a moment in that context. Because really, that's where the word gossip comes from. That is the original root, they told me once, is evangelize, the Greek word. Is that what we talk about when we talk on the phone? What we talk about when we meet people and have a coffee? Is that what we speak about when we share with one another? How often is the Lord present in our midst? As it was on them two men to Emmaus as they walked that day, and they felt a little heavy-hearted. Yeah, very, very heavy-hearted. But as they talked about the things, so the Lord drew near. Speak, congregation. Speak, children of God, about the hope God has given in your heart. Let us fear to keep those mouths closed. We do that way too much. Our children need to hear it. Of the hope that is in our heart in this great gospel grace. That's why David wrote many of his songs. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. Now, why do you think David wrote that? He did not write that, look at me. Look at me. Oh, he says, look at the Lord. He looked down upon a man like me. That's possible for you. See, that's why. This poor man cried. Now, why was this man poor? That's because of my sin. I chose to disobey, and I chose to walk away, and I chose to immerse myself in all kinds of wrong. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me out of the depths. That's not about David. That's about the Lord. And let us speak. Let us tell others. We obviously do not have the same here that he will go before us into Galilee and there we shall see him. But we are still under that same charge to speak to those who need to hear the message. Let me give you one other scripture out of Thessalonians 5 where Paul writes this to the Christians in Thessalonica. And we beseech you, brethren, and we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And who are the brethren here? Those are not the pastors of the church. The brethren are the brothers and sisters in faith. And they are exhorted to spread the news. Go your way. Tell his disciples. And then, in our second thought, we'll go to that second edition and Peter. But let's sing first, before we consider that. And what we're going to sing is one of those songs that David wrote as a personal testimony that we may come to bless our God and tell his glorious praise abroad. 175, we'll sing all four verses.
and Peter. It's remarkable that only Mark records these two words in the four Gospels. That's explainable, friends, by the fact that Mark received most of his information from the Apostle Peter. Peter has been his mentor as he shared with him and Mark wrote. And therefore, obviously, Peter remembers these two words. They were life-changing to Peter. When he got to hear this out of the disciples, the women disciples' mouth, and this little word and two-word addition may never be forgotten in any resurrection sermon. And Peter. I call it a two-word summary. The entire gospel. There's also one-word summary of the entire gospel. That's even smaller than that. I wonder what that is. That's the little word, so. God so loved. But here you have another one. And Peter. Peter's name is usually the first one in all the rows of the disciples as you go through the gospel stories. Simon Peter is usually the first one in the list. You notice he's in the last here. Go tell my disciples. And in the end, Peter. But he's still included. Now, who do you think included him? Who told the angels to add these words and Peter? That wasn't their idea, friends. This is the shepherd. This is the lover of Peter. No one has wounded Jesus more than Peter ever did. The wounds that Pilate gave, the wounds that Herod gave, the wounds that Judas Iscariot gave to Jesus are not nearly as painful as what Peter did. Let's not forget that. This is a disciple who said, I will never do that. I'll lay my life down with thee. Against his promise, despite his love, despite the light that he was given, thou art the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona. So Peter has been the one who wounded Jesus the deepest. And Peter knows that. It is hard for us to understand perhaps what Peter has gone through in those last 3 days. They were his worst days ever. No doubt he has scraped his name off that list of those disciples. Maybe Satan has suggested, go join Judas Iscariot. Those eyes of Jesus that gave him this last look must have been knives in the heart of Peter. As there his master stood with all the mockery and blasphemy before Caiaphas and Annas, and he hears Peter deny him. Friends, he didn't just deny him. In the Gospel of Luke, it is actually in the Gospel of Mark, it's Peter himself who adds it. The third time he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. You know what he says there is this. If I know Jesus, my place is hell. That's a swear and a curse. That's how deep Peter went with denying his master.
And undoubtedly these 3 days between Jesus' death and his day of resurrection, Peter has been thinking about those eyes by which the Master looked back at him. And it broke his heart. And then he fled away and he hears later that night that his Master has died. He can't make it right anymore. I can't go back to tell him how sorry I am about what I've said and done. Maybe the other disciples also have wondered whether Peter really was a real disciple. And undoubtedly, Satan has been on his shoulder. You think you are a disciple of Jesus? After doing that? After thinking that? No, after talking like that? How can you imagine that you are a child of God? About those nice confessions you make, you think that would go together with grace? Peter, you might as well place yourself forever outside. There is no hope for you. Can imagine that that would have been roaring in the heart of Peter. Yeah, a child of God can fall deeply. One of the ministers wrote, they can fall deeper than an unsaved person can ever fall. I pondered about that, but I agree. Here a child of God that has seen so much of the glory of Christ, tasted so much of the love of Christ already, does something none unbeliever can ever do. Because you can't deny someone that you don't know. That's what Peter did. So deep can a child of God fall. And friends, in his feelings, you might say, Peter hung on a silk thread above hell. In his own feelings. But we don't go by feelings. Peter was not hanging above hell by a silk thread. He was hanging above hell by a divine chain. So firm that all the world could never break it. Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now Peter didn't know that at that moment. But we know that from the scripture, that God's church is in the firmest hand, no matter how deeply Satan can sift them on the trials of life and lead them into a sin that is indeed great. And therefore, this remarkable statement, go tell the disciples and Peter. It is the risen Savior's charge to be handed to Peter. It is that's what the disciples, what the angels heard. You go tell these disciples that are coming here that I am risen, and go tell them to go to my disciples and add, and Peter. This is Jesus' love. This is now the Savior's faithfulness. A man who have stomped him on his heart with a spiked boot. So hard and so painful. Go tell my Peter. Friends, look at that heart of God that lies behind this. Two word and Peter. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. Oh, if I had a friend like Peter, and who on my weakest moment would not just turn his back on me, but would curse doing so. I'm going to be admitted. I admit that to you. I'll have a hard time going back to a person like that. But not Jesus. And Peter. Oh, let's deepen that in our thinking. What lies behind here is the heart of a Savior that is beating with an unconquerable love for Peter. Though everyone might have, and including Peter, erased his name, Jesus didn't. Go tell my Peter, I am his risen King and Savior. He's mine from eternity, and my blood will cleanse this worst of all sins. There may be much power in your sins to destroy, friends. But there's more power in Christ's love to heal. And there is more power in Christ's merits to cancel the greatest sin. These two words, and Peter. Indeed, it's hard to imagine what Peter must have felt when he heard these words. Tears of bitter regret must have been changed in tears of joy and hope. We know from Luke 24 that later that day, Jesus and Peter met. And the Holy Scripture has kept it silent. What has been transpiring between those two. But if I read Peter's sermons and Peter's letters, am I off? And I think in that moment of that meeting between private Peter and Jesus, Peter has looked into the heart of his master and seen nothing of the love by which he loved me has diminished, despite what I did. And that's why you see Peter on Pentecost Day saying, to your hands have taken with wicked hands the Savior, and you have crucified him. And these people, as they are pricked in their heart and they cannot believe that there would be hope, then you read this in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I just have to find that for a moment. And it says, and the apostles exhorted and testified with many words. I can just imagine Peter standing there. He says, brother, I understand where you are. I've been worse than you. I walked with him for 3 years. And he spoke to me, and he had all this time together seen him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and seen him in Gethsemane. I've been all there, and I denied him. And there is hope for you because, look, here I am. He told me he still loved me. A man like me. A separate Easter gospel we have today for Peter, but for Peter only. Notice that the angel didn't tell the women to bring this message of Easter to Caiaphas and to Pilate and to the Pharisees. And also not to the soldiers. They may have heard it. I do not know if they're by that time gone already. But it was not for them. So today I am commissioned to speak these words of the risen Savior. And to whom now may I address these words of this so blessed comfort? Maybe I hear one answer. And you say, well, that message is for me. Please pass on this message to me. Because I am no despiser of God and of His Word. I live nice according to all God's commandments. I'm faithful to the church. I'm faithful to the Lord's cause. I never deny Him. That message must be for me. No, my friend, that message is then not for you. If that's how you sit here, thinking. No, what the message is for you is go cast away all those pearls that you just showed to me. Because they really are no pearls of any value. That's how the young rich ruler came to Jesus. And Jesus says, go sell all that and follow me. Or I hear maybe another and say, yeah, the message is for me, of course. That's my comfort, for I am a son of Abraham. I'm one of God's chosen people. I belong to such that are marked of the sign of the covenant. I'm converted. I'm one of the Lord's people. That must be one of the messages for me. I'm afraid not, my friend. For that's not usually the first thing that we're going to learn, are we? When God's grace begins, we don't learn we're son of Abraham. We learn we're son of Adam. We learn that there is on our side nothing. That we are unworthy the place of the children and unworthy a crumb of the master's table. Maybe I hear another this evening. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Truth, Lord, I am but a dead dog. Even though I desire the crumbs of thy table, I am not worthy any of those crumbs. Lord, I have longed after thy salvation. I've gone astray like a sheep, and I deserve none of thy blessings. Now, to such a one, I may say, and Peter. Friends, to you I may hand out this Easter message. All your sins you so bitterly weep about, all that sin that you maybe see in your life, he carried to the cross for you. All that sin that you cannot undo, that you cannot erase, that you cannot cover. Look at the cross where Christ hung as the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. Behold him! Behold him! The prophet Isaiah says. There is your Savior. He was made a curse that we may become sharers of his blessing. Oh, you say, I cannot believe that, Pastor. I cannot believe that it is true for me. If you only knew and understand what I am and who I am and what I have done and what my record is against me and what the sins are so black that I have done worse than Pilate and worse than Caiaphas because I sinned against love. I sinned against light. I sinned though I deep down knew I was doing wrong. And I cannot believe. Well, and I will just end with two words as your answer. And Peter. Amen. Lord, what is this? A gospel statement. And Peter, even he was given to hear the message on this Easter day of thy undying love, faithfulness, and readiness to forgive him of the sins that he committed. And Lord, let the tiding of such grace also be carried tonight into the hidden depths of such despairing men and women and children that Peter may have been like or was like. So, O faithful God, soothe thou encourage thou, uplift thou with this message of hope any downcast heart in our midst. Go with us in this week. Allow not all the distractions of work and travel and whatever to wipe away, Lord, the words that were sown in our minds today. May we be as that one who received that word in good ground, and with meditation and prayer, bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Abide with us, the two disciples asked, when their hearts were made burning. Abide with us, Lord, so abide thou with us. We pray this day, this evening, to guide us all, also especially for those that travel. And Lord, we may ask for Bob and Jean Valier, who are traveling a long distance this week to visit Israel. Will thou please give them a safe journey and also a profitable journey when they may visit that land where thou didst live, didst die, and arose again. And Lord, we pray for all of us in our daily labors, our work. Will thou strengthen us and keep us? Will thou help us and protect us? In school, wherever we may go to school, at home, or the schools that we may attend, will thou please give us all grace to learn and to stay away from that which is evil. Hear us now, O faithful God, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us sing 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. It's 284, 1, 2, 3. O come, my soul, and bless the Lord thy Maker. And all within me, bless his holy name. And just one announcement, friends. If Sheila comes home this week, as we hope she may, she's going to have a lot of rest. And so there may be a lot of need for your very good meals for the family of Sheila and Caleb. So obviously we don't have all those meals flooding into the house at one time. And Janice is going to volunteer to coordinate that. No doubt this church and Caleb's old church are all willing to help out, but we need to do it in a right way. So before you go and do your charitable sacrifices, make sure you get in touch with Janice so it also gets a little bit good coordination. Let's sing now 284, 1, 2, and 3.
Receive now the blessing of the Most High and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.